Have you ever wanted to just disappear? Where one day you're living your life, going to work, going out to eat with friends, doing the same thing day in and day out, then all of a sudden, you're gone. No one knows where you went, no one knows why or how. You're just gone. Jason and I have done that, and no, it's not something we're proud of. Even now, almost 10 years later, we think about that day. We remember the thrill, but at the same time, we feel the regret of that decision. In this episode, we're going to dive into that story, one we've only told close family and friends, but it's for a purpose. It's to highlight that you never really know someone's whole story. You're listening to the Really Very Crunchy podcast with your hosts, Emily
and Jason. That intro felt a little heavy.
Did it?
Yeah. You know, when we were talking about doing this, you're like, we need a good hook, I think, for the episode. I'm like, yeah. And then we came up with this, and it was very true crime feel.
I've never actually listened to a true crime podcast because I'm too scared.
Yeah. Well, that felt, a little.
Have you ever wanted to just disappear because you never know who's going to come to your house and snatch you up?
Wow.
Is that?
Yeah, that's how most podcasts start. Most true crime podcasts just feed on the fears of the listeners, but they love it. It's like watching a horror movie. You like the feeling of being scared, which I know you love horror movies.
I cannot even sit through a horror movie preview.
Have you ever actually sat through a horror movie?
It.
Oh,
does that count?
Are we talking about the 80s? Like the TV series It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was terrified. And there was this huge dude sitting next to me. He's probably 10 years older than me. And he had his arm around me.
How old were you?
I don't know, like 13. This is weird. You don't. Okay. I can't believe you don't know this story about me.
I don't know this story about you.
You don't know the whole story, Jason.
I don't. That's the theme. I don't know the whole story. You, the only horror movie you sat through was 19 whatever Tim Curry It with a big 10-year-old dude with his arm around you.
No. He was not 10 years old.
A dude 10 years older than you.
23 years old. Like,
okay.
Weird.
A dude 10 years older than you. Not
a big 10-year-old dude. I was terrified because
Is he the reason you don't watch horror movies?
Oh, maybe.
Because you're like, this is creepy. You're not even thinking about the movie. You're thinking about how creeped out you are.
I mean, do you want me to be real here? Because the reason I don't watch horror movies is because my mom's best friend was murdered.
Yeah, let's save that for a different podcast. That's heavy. Okay. That you truly don't know someone's full story.
Yeah.
And that is one for you.
For the books.
For you, yeah.
That definitely shaped my entire life.
Wow. I think maybe we could dive in a little bit on that, but comments of the week. I'm just kidding. I got these papers so I sound like a radio guy.
Yeah.
You know, from the whatever.
Well, when I was explaining what a podcast was to your grandmother, I told her, we're starting a radio show. She's like, oh, it'll just be on the radio? I'm like, well, a special kind of radio. I'll put it on your iPod, because she calls the iPad. That we got her.
She's a sweet woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Grandy.
Hi, Grandy.
Sorry if you're listening to this.
On your iPod.
Anyway, I want to hear comments of the week.
Oh, okay. So this one comes from YouTube, from the video, Why Did I Even Get Married? There is some context there. I think you're just talking about the wedding day, things like that. This comes from Erica's.6790. That's the most ugly wedding cake I've ever seen in general, let alone a wedding cake. How does that?
I think she meant that's the most ugly cake, not wedding cake.
That's the most ugly wedding cake I've ever seen in general, let alone. No, I think she's saying that's the most ugly cake she's ever seen.
Yeah. Let alone
it's the most ugly wedding cake. She's ever seen.
Thanks,
so not only
Erica.
Not only is it a terrible, terrible wedding cake, it's a terrible cake in general. But she goes on to say, well, at least you had something to laugh at and a husband, which I'll probably never have. Thank you, Erica's 6790.
6790.
I bet you will.
Yeah.
With that kind of candor, you're doing great.
You don't know the whole story, Jason.
I don't know the whole story.
Maybe she doesn't want a husband.
You know what? She's got the guts to come out anonymously with her first name on the internet and tell you that you had the ugliest cake in the world.
That she's ever seen.
To be fair, she's right.
It was very ugly.
So,
I mean, I've cried many tears over how ugly that cake was. And also laughed a lot. Now, it took me a while to get there.
What, 14? We're at 14 years now?
took me 13 years to
be able to laugh at your wedding cake. Yeah. Before we go on into the theme of the show much further, which I just want to do this really quick. I want to try this segment. It may work, it may not work, but it's an article.
Just for the listener, I have no idea what's going on, so.
Okay, so I'm not going to read the whole article, obviously. I'm going to like skim, but the article is called, and so I just kind of want your take on this, how you feel about this. You're a garden grower, like. Sorry, flower.
Gardener.
Well, you're a garden maker, right? But particularly, you love growing flowers.
Yes,
that's one of your favorite things ever.
Okay, but I don't know that much. So,
oh no, that's fine. This article is from NPR this month in April. Well, last month. Watch your garden glow with new genetically modified bioluminescent petunias. How do you feel about that? Keith Wood, let me just say this. Keith Wood, PhD, spent most of his career in pharmaceutical research in molecular and chemical biology, using his work in bioluminescence to understand how molecules interacted with diseases. His work started as a graduate student when the team he was on inserted a firefly gene into a tobacco plant. Okay, so he's studying diseases.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I have an idea. Let's put a firefly gene into a tobacco plant.
Well, okay. Well, but maybe he's trying to experiment on, you know, I don't know, how to prevent diseases. What, I don't know what he's doing, right?
But with fireflies.
Maybe. 40 years after the first plant, Wood and his company are marketing a garden petunia with a twist. It glows in the dark. To me, it seems like he missed the mark a little bit. On what was originally a endeavor to cure diseases,
mm-hmm.
He has a glowing petunia.
Who funded his research is what I want to know. And are they mad about it? And
are they mad about it?
He's like, hold on, really? I can understand. And wait, let me turn out the lights. It's like when you get a glow stick and you're like, hey guys, let's go in the bathroom. And you turn out the lights.
Is that
like, I can see him talking to the CEO or whoever funds these things. I don't really know. He's like, wait guys, come on, come into the bathroom. Let's turn out the lights. You won't be mad after this.
Well, if they saw dollar signs, then, you know, that's which I don't think it's been approved yet for sale, but I think very soon it will be. So at your local Lowe's or Home Depot, you'll probably find
that's totally a specialty item, Jason.
You don't think so?
No,
I have no
idea. You're
gonna
have to order that online.
No,
you had me at genetically modified. Well, that's interesting because I thought you weren't allowed to have genetically modified crops in your home garden.
Well, is that just edible things?
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know anything.
I feel like on all the seed packets that I've ever seen on anything
sold
at the store, even flowers, it says non-GMO. And they're like selling that like, oh, look, it's non-GMO. But it has to be. Because the companies that own genetic modification, like that's for industrial agriculture, though some people will argue that they are genetically modified, but it's not like the same.
Bees 10 years from now are going to be this big and glowing
from those petunias. yeah
what if everything that goes to the petunias, they just start glowing?
What is the that effect that people the moth,
the butterfly effect, the Mothman prophecy effect.
Why couldn't I think of that?
It's fine.
This is the start of something really bad.
Oh gosh, the glowing petunia effect. It will go down in history as the end of the modern world as we know it. My big takeaway from that was just that he started in diseases and preventing diseases and came out with the glowing petunia 40 years later.
40 years.
I don't know the whole story, though. He might have prevented plenty of diseases for all we know, but this is like the coolest thing he's done. Mm-hmm. And so the news is like, eh, we don't care about that fungus he cured on people's toenails, but man, that glowing petunia.
I bet that petunia is actually treated with fungicides, which is a real issue now. Mm. And creating like fungi that can't be treated, that are like resistant to fungicides. I mean, this is just speculation, but
sounds like The Last of Us or something. They're just like
putting it out there that it's like a genetically, well, obviously it's genetically modified. No,
this is an all natural glowing petunia.
So yeah, I mean, I bet it does.
The theme of today's episode: we don't always know the whole story. Who is really very crunchy? Where do they come from? We have had a glamorous life, Emily. It has been incredibly easy. We got married, moved to Georgia, 12 hours away. Then we wanted to experience the Korean culture, so we moved to Korea. Then we thought living in an RV would be fun before any of our peers were doing it, and spent a year doing that. Then we started really very crunchy, gained 3 million followers, and now we're doing a podcast. It's all been a dream, really. I wouldn't have done it any other way. How about you, Emily? Except that's what you see on the face of things. But you don't always know the whole story, and that storyline is wrought with many failures, many crazy fun times, but many days that I wish I was just doing something else. But we'll get into that after the break.
So we've sort of addressed this topic before. I talked about it a lot in my book, Really Very Crunchy, and we've done videos about how nothing really is as it seems on the surface. Really, no one's story is what you think it is.
Right.
You don't know the whole story. Mm. And so I thought this would be a really great first episode, kind of let people know who we are, where we came from, what our story is, most of it.
Yeah. Well, we met in college and then graduated 2 years later. And we had both lived in Kentucky pretty much our whole lives. And then we had to find jobs.
Well, we decided we wanted to be adventurous.
I had sort of two choices. I was a journalist, you know, a journalism major, and we were choosing between me staying in Kentucky, us staying in Kentucky because we were engaged, and then there was another job in Georgia, Jessup, Georgia, that opened up.
And so, can I stop you there?
Yeah.
It's funny that we're just doing this based on your jobs, because my degree was worthless.
Well, it turns out, so was mine.
And there's...
So, to be clear, organizational communication.
Yeah, and there's a story there.
Sure.
That is, you don't know the whole story. We went out to dinner with a couple about a year ago, and we were talking about who we are and whatever. And I was like, well, my degree is completely worthless. And he said, oh, what's your degree? And I said, organizational communication. Does it have an S on the end? I can't even remember.
Don't even know what your degree is.
I don't know the title.
Communications.
Organizational communications.
I think it's communication.
I think it's communication too. Anyway, he was like, oh, me too. I got my master's in it. But he loves it,
yeah.
So good for him.
Well, so what I was saying is that
it is what you make it.
Yeah.
On all the brochures, it was like, with this degree, you could be a CEO.
Like, all you have to do is start your own company.
Start a business.
Be successful.
Yeah.
But so, see, in journalism, you think that you're going to be all the president's men, where the movie where or the story of the journalist who took down Nixon, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what you have in your head, even though it's like the reality is you're going to cover the police beat in, let's face it, Jessup, Georgia, which is where we ended up because we wanted to be adventurous. Mm-hmm. And from a newspaper perspective, that it just wasn't. I mean, number one, we couldn't even afford the health insurance that they offered at the job. Good people. Love the people.
Mm-hmm. Super nice people.
But man, that was hard. You were looking for jobs and became like the receptionist there, right? Mm-hmm. Little Jim and Pam thing going on.
Mm-hmm. It was mostly the paper mill smell for me, but I loved the people. I actually didn't hate being a receptionist. I kind of like...
Well, I wasn't saying anything bad about the receptionist job. It was just the where we weren't making any...
No money.
Like, yeah, you're actually, right. It was...
It was hard.
Yeah.
It was a struggle. Yeah, we definitely knew that we needed to do something different because we wanted to be able to set up our kids
right
for the future.
So you're like, I know people who lived in South Korea. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, whatever. Sounds great. And how many months later and we were in South Korea? So we were I was at the newspaper job for 6 months, and mm-hmm. then you get the idea of going to Korea, and then a month later...
We're there. Like, had never even, honestly, looked at Korea on a map.
Yeah.
And so, didn't know anything.
Right.
And, I mean, I knew where it was, obviously, in Asia. Like, when I say I haven't even looked at it on a map.
I know. I mean, it was on the southern tip of Africa, and it was just, what is this Korea place?
No, I had a little bit of expectations, but really didn't know anything. Didn't know anything about their culture or their language or...
Which, learning abroad was something you always wanted to do.
Yeah.
But never really got a chance to.
I did not have enough money to
do. Do you think that's kind of what fueled the desire to do the Korea thing? Is because you didn't get to do the Learn Abroad program?
Yeah. And I guess I sort of was like, okay, we're in this pretty dumpy apartment. Sorry, Jason. I know you picked out that place.
I mean.
We're eating Stouffer's every single meal. What is going on? What are we doing here? Let's do something. Like, what do we have to lose? Actually, nothing. Because the little stray cat that we found ran away. So hot we dog. Had nothing.
We named that cat Hot Dog. Never know the whole story. I wonder what Hot Dog's doing right now.
Dead.
Maybe not. Cats can live for a long time.
Okay. You just keep that hope alive.
Well, Hot Dog, if you're listening to this. We still love
How
you.
How many people are we going to address during our podcast recording? If you're listening to this.
So far, we have Grandy and Hot Dog. So I'm sure there's many more to come. So Korea. We end up there a month later. It's so amazing.
That's mega adventure.
Yeah. And it's like the trip to get there. And then the first day. A complete nightmare.
Nightmare. Yes. 24 hours of traveling.
At least.
It may have been more. And then our co-teacher picks us up and doesn't really speak English.
Which is fine.
Yeah. But we're trying to tell her like, yeah, hey, we're ready to head back to the apartment that we haven't seen. And
yeah, we know nothing like where we're going to be staying, what the accommodations are going to be. I mean, we get there. I don't know if you're about to get here to this part, but after all this traveling,
we have our suitcases and everything. And she decided to take us out to eat.
So
remember?
Nice, though.
It was sweet.
But... Young me, if you're listening to this, thank you for taking us
out. It was the
immediately
most
after.
Korean restaurant I had ever,
which,
even when I lived there, I never even ate at a Korean restaurant as this restaurant.
When you go from 24/7 Stouffer's.
Yes.
To authentic Korean, it's a little bit of a shock.
We're talking like fermented lotus and kimchi.
After not sleeping for like 30 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I am a really adventurous eater and I really love trying new things. But when you're that tired, you can't make yourself eat squid tentacles.
No. Like, I still haven't been able to get myself to eat squid tentacles.
I grew to love them. I loved those little squid patties they made and had all the little tentacles sticking out.
I actually think Korea sparked an adventurous eating for you. That, I mean, you probably always had it more than I did by far, but that seemed to spark like...
I'll try anything.
I'll try anything.
And like it.
Yeah. Very nice thought.
Okay. But then she took us to the school and gave us a little tour.
Yeah.
And we're still...
We just wanted to go to bed. Yeah,
hadn't gone to bed yet.
Well, we thought maybe we'll get 3 days, maybe a little bit of an orientation.
Yeah.
But what we find out was that the previous teachers had quit. They had been there for 1 month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 months, I think. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know this,
mm-hmm.
but they had quit in the middle of their contract, went back home to either US or Canada or whatever, and we were their replacements.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important for later.
Everybody's a little ticked off.
Really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And we get there on a Monday, having slept for 7 hours for the last 48 hours. And we get there, and what does your co-teacher do for you, Emily?
She took me to a room full of Korean children and said, "Okay, teach." And closed the door.
No books.
Nothing.
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 Nothing even to write on the chalkboard. Maybe there was chalk.
I don't know. I remember you know what I did, Jason? What would any good English teacher do?
Hangman.
Hangman. I played hangman, but I'm pretty sure it was the kid's idea. I'm pretty sure
they bailed
another
you out,
previous
right?
English teacher was a slacker and was like, "Well, let's play hangman."
Yeah.
So, yeah, but my kids didn't speak any English, so mm-hmm. hangman didn't go well. So then I started playing this game where I just had them come up to the board and really quickly try to find the letter of the alphabet mm-hmm. as quickly as I could. So that was what I did, and I did that all day.
You're a really good spontaneous teacher. The exact same thing happened to me where I went into the classroom and the teacher said, "Okay, teach."
And that is where your seed of bitterness was sown.
And I
probably had, in that moment.
Probably.
And then you just watered it, Jason.
Watered that seed.
Watered that bitterness. That
glowing petunia seed of mm-hmm. bitterness.
So while we were making cute little videos about our time in Korea, we started a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And we did try to make fun videos. But you were over there like totally hating it. I remember one time we were like in the stairwell or something.
Yeah. It got bad.
You had a fit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like embarrassed to even be associated with you. You threw your papers everywhere.
I don't know what the incident was. It never had anything to do with the kids.
Maybe they separated us. They put us in different rooms and said,
"I want to talk to my wife."
No, they were like, "Why is Jason angry?"
Well, we went a whole semester with no resources.
Yeah.
We had no books. So we went to a bookstore, bought a bunch of books with our own money to teach kids with, begged them to compensate us for the books, and then begged them to give us books for the next semester. They did. It helped. We had no direction. We had no orientation. No anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very, very bitter that year. And it was culture shock for me.
Mm-hmm. You didn't learn intercultural communication in your classes like
I did. Apparently not. No, they knew I was going to be a local small town newspaper the rest of my life. They never thought that, oh, he'll be an international journalist that'll interview people from all kinds of cultures. No. They're like, oh, yeah, he's going to Jessup.
I mean, to be fair, they would talk about us in front of us and stuff like that. And they would be speaking Korean very quickly.
It wasn't just me just being mad for the sake of being mad.
No, we're like at a conference table and we don't know Korean. We're trying to learn it. But you just can't keep up. I mean, they're speaking so quickly, but it would be like,
but then you would hear whatever, your name. Whatever.
Emily.
And then they all,
Jason.
And we're like, what's up? And they're...
No. Yeah. We kind of got shunned. Anyway, so that
was... Well, that's probably my fault.
Yeah, it does. It's one of those... It looks like we're really having the best time.
Right, because of the videos we were making on YouTube. And it was... we show our families back home. Oh, this is what a Korean lunch is like. And this is, you know, what this holiday is like. And then every day... I am just personally just stewing in anger
for our situation. Because we were
wanting to leave.
Yeah, we wanted to leave. You really wanted to leave.
I was like, we got to quit. This is crazy. I can't handle this. And then we both like, no.
What about the bonus?
There's a bonus. At the end of the contract, they give you a bonus. Yeah.
And pay for your flight home.
Right.
So that was, we were holding out.
We held out for 10 months to the end of the contract. We go to the office of the principal.
Vice principal.
Vice principal. We're like, okay, we're like here for our goodbye. For our bonus check. And they said, no, you're on a 10-month contract, not a 12-month, because you replaced the other teacher, so you don't get the bonus.
But our contract we signed was the 12-month contract.
Yeah. Yeah, but there was nothing we could do, and they knew we couldn't do anything because we were scheduled to leave.
Yeah.
They knew if they said no, there's nothing we could do about it because we were leaving.
But
we were
going home. That was why we stuck it out.
And that's why we stuck it out. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, after a bit of a argument, which didn't get more than an argument, but because it just ends with a lot of, I'm sorry, sorry. I vowed that would never happen to me again, which is important for later. when, you know, we mentioned this,
disappearing thing.
Wait till we get to 2016. So that was, it was a horrible year.
But let's not forget the silver lining in that year. We got a present or a package in the mail.
That's true.
On Christmas morning.
Yeah, we have to thank my sister for that one.
That was like, hey, Sister Melissa, if you're listening to this.
Melissa, if you're listening to this.
No, we got the package in the mail on Christmas morning. It was a Christmas miracle. Well,
it was very
miracle.
Depressing because we were having a horrible year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we were very depressed on Christmas morning, away from family, hating our jobs. And then the doorbell rings. And lo and behold, it is a package just full of Christmas goodies.
We went back to Korea, though, with a different job.
Yes, we contracted with a different job. Much better year, better company to work for. No, it was a better apartment. We traveled. We traveled the country a lot. Got to see. That's when videos got more fun for me, because then we were enjoying it more.
I still wrote on my calendar counting down from 287 how many days we had left in Korea.
Just to get back to Kentucky. Yeah. And go back to journalism. Was that the plan at the time?
We had no plan.
Yeah.
We eventually did go to Omaha, Nebraska. We were house parents.
Yeah, we met a couple who had grown up around that. And they kind of sold us on the idea of working at Boys Town. So that's after year two in Korea. Boys Town is a...
alternative to juvenile detention.
For the most part. Not mm-hmm. everybody was there necessarily for that alternative. Most were. A lot were.
Our boys were.
Or, except yeah, for in our house. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them. Not all of them. But I think the major problem with this, with Boys Town for us, we were house parents. We had 8 or 9 kids in mm-hmm. the house. And it was just us and then an assistant that would come in. I think the biggest problem for us was that we were, what, 23? 22 mm-hmm. years old,
mm-hmm.
maybe 24, and our oldest kid was 19
mm-hmm.
and probably had more life experience and hardships in their life than we've ever known,
mm-hmm.
especially when you accumulate all of them. Like, we don't know troubles that some of these kids have gone through, and we are just like young, naive. One kid we had... which he was a younger kid. I think he was 13. Like 13. Mm-hmm. He beat up,
him out of our house because he was constantly threatening me. He was right. constantly threatening me. And so
it was scary.
We finally were like, he can't be in our house anymore because all I'm doing is dealing with this kid.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be transferred.
And it was beyond our skill to even... do anything.
Yeah. I mean, we did our best. He was in our home for several months.
Mm-hmm.
He had an issue with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now, like, I feel sort of responsible for what happened. They sent him to the next home, and that guy had some issue with his ankle or something. Like, his ankle
what
was
guy?
Broken. His new family teacher, his new, like, parent,
house parent person.
He ended up knocking him down and beating him up. He blinded him, right?
So the house parent was holding his newborn baby.
Yeah. Oh, and he didn't have crutches?
Well, he did have a broken foot. Like, okay. And so I don't know if he had a crutch or just or two, but he was holding his newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid that was in our house went up to him and just, I mean, I'm sure there was some sort of a confrontation to start it or whatever, but mm-hmm. then he just started wailing on him. You said he blinded him?
I thought he blinded him in
one eye. At least temporarily. Yeah. I don't know if permanently or not, but it was bad.
Bad.
I think that got him kicked out of the whole program.
I can't remember, but.
I'm personally just glad it wasn't you,
because yeah, it could have been. I feel really bad that that happened to
yeah.
the next person.
I'll just speak for most men. Like, I think even he would say, like, well, I'm glad it wasn't you.
Yeah.
I mean.
And he didn't hurt the baby.
Right. He didn't hurt the baby, thankfully. Mm-hmm. My goodness. But that's the kind of place, like, I really think you have to have had kids or worked around kids to even just having your own kids. We have a 6-year-old. That's way more experience than we had dealing with any other kind of kid like this. I mean,
yeah, but that experience has helped prepare us for being parents.
I think so.
Because we learned a lot of like behavior modification and teaching methods.
I think it was a very valuable place to be, a very valuable learning experience, and one of, again, worst years of my life.
But yeah, you thought you were getting something else, and then... See, that is where it all... To me, your unhappiness comes from expectations and reality.
Are you talking about me personally?
You personally.
Oh, wow.
You have expectations about what something's going to be, and then the reality is very different, and you have a hard time adjusting your scope of vision. And
you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's good to know.
Yeah.
You missed your calling.
Expectations. You're listening to Emily's therapy session.
Dr. Becky, if you're listening to this.
Is this right?
Is this right?
Dr. Becky's not really about...
Okay,
clearly you have not listened to the podcasts that I sent you, Jason.
Answer me this. How do you think Dr. Becky would do with the kids that we had How's it holding up? How's she holding up, in your opinion? Are you allowed to say this?
Dr. Becky shoots it straight. I mean, she's
Yeah.
like, I think she would do great, actually. And they have methods and there are scripts, and she's all about scripts. She gives a lot of scripts. So it's actually been a while since I've listened to her, but I think she would be an excellent house parent.
I thought you were going to say something like that. And as you were talking, it kind of went through my head what I have seen of her stuff. She would probably be the best house
She'd probably be
parent
the
there.
best house parent. Honestly, like when I first thought about it, I was like, that would be hilarious because one time I remember some of her advice that I took and used and still use. She was like, if your child has a hard time listening, maybe turn it into a game. So, like, you tell them, uh-oh, if you don't brush your teeth, you're gonna make me do the monkey dance, aren't you? Or no, if you brush your teeth, I'll have to do the monkey dance. If you brush your teeth, I'll have to do the monkey dance, and I don't want to do it. Don't make me do
I would say
the
that would get you beat up at
monkey
Boys
dance.
Town.
And then you're like, you know, your kids like totally love it, but I was envisioning like applying that to a Boys Town kid, like, uh-oh, if you do your homework, I'm gonna have to do the monkey dance.
Yeah, I think your assessment's correct.
Yeah,
I think she
actually,
would
she'd
rock
be
it.
great. Yeah,
Yeah.
totally. So anyway,
In our
Jason quit that
hypothetical.
job.
Oh, yeah. I did quit. And you became, well, I stayed a year. I stayed till graduation
Yeah.
of our kids that were seniors.
We
And
saw them
then,
out. Yeah. There was restructuring of homes anyway during that
it
time.
was a good out. It wasn't just like a, I'm out. I'm not
Yeah.
like, yeah.
No, you saw it to completion, but we still needed money. So I stayed.
You stayed on as an assistant at Boys Town, and I stayed home and wrote. And so we saw one of those X-Men movies about Japan, where Wolverine's in Japan, and you're like, "Hey, we should live in an RV." I
No,
don't
no, no,
understand.
no. That's not what happened, Jason. We saw it, and I was like, hey, we lived in Korea for 2 years. We should move to Japan. And then you were like, heck no, I'm done.
Yeah.
No, I did not really enjoy that. Emily, stop. And I was like, why don't we sell everything we have and move into an RV? Let's do that instead. And you were like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. We did that for a year, traveled around the whole United States, and I would say there were probably 10 to 15 days that were incredible in that year. Do
The
you agree?
rest of it
The
you
rest
didn't
of it,
really like?
not that I didn't like it, the rest of
This
it
is
was,
news to me. I didn't
no,
know the whole story.
the rest of it was just kind of boring.
It was a little boring at times. Definitely. We watched so much TV.
Yeah.
We could have been
We lost
probably,
years.
yeah. In that year, we lost years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And it was definitely kind of like, what are we doing? Because in order to be able to pay for our spot, we did like a work exchange program. So we would work for the campground so that we could park there for free. It's
Yeah.
called camp hosting. And because we were young and that wasn't really common then, they're like, oh, young people can do manual labor. So we were not like taking tickets at the gate.
No.
We were shoveling fire pits and mowing and cleaning bathrooms, cleaning campground bathrooms.
Yeah, that's
Like, you
pretty
think it's
rough.
bad to shower at a campground? Be the one to clean the shower. That's bad. It's really bad. That's probably why it's not very clean, because they walk in and they're like,
Nope,
nope,
not doing
not
that
doing
today.
this. I did, though.
Of course
Such
you
a
did.
people pleaser.
Yeah, except when it comes to me.
I had
I'm
people
just
like
joking.
knock on our RV at 1 a.m. wanting firewood. And you're like, no, we stop sales. And I'm like, how many? I'll deliver to your site.
You like put out the sign,
Which
open for firewood.
I did start someone's fire more than once. I
Really?
helped somebody set up a tent.
Wow. That's going above and beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I would have had a better time if I was a nicer person. Maybe that's the theme. is that just be nicer and you'll enjoy your time more.
Life, if you're listening to this.
Life, if you're listening to this, be kinder to people. I'm not trying to put down the RV life. It was really, really cool. It opened up a lot of neat experiences for us.
But for us, we weren't standing on the rim of the Grand Canyon every day.
No, we weren't just going to all the great places every week. Mm-hmm. We had no money. Mm-hmm. We had like almost $0 for some months.
For sure.
And that meant that we would get stuck in like Bladen Springs, Alabama campground by ourselves for a full 30 days.
With nothing.
With like actually zero people, which is kind of cool in its own way. Yeah,
but it didn't even have trails.
But it was anything. It was actually kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I don't regret any of the places that we've gone and done and things we've done. I wish I was more wise about things. Mm-hmm. And I might have made different choices and different approach things differently. But there is one thing I do regret. And it happened when we went to Korea for a third time. Mm-hmm. And it's probably because I was very stubborn, which we'll talk about that after this ad break. Do you have any regrets? You know what? If we ever start having podcast guests, we should say, what are some of your biggest regrets in life? That's your first question. Icebreaker. Like, what is the one thing you regret the most about your life?
I would start really say heavy. I don't think that us disappearing is my greatest regret in life.
I do regret how things happened. Mm-hmm. And at the time, okay, let's just, can you explain
sure.
the whole deal?
Let's start at the very beginning.
No. It's a very good place to start.
So when we first got to our third job in Korea, because we just, like, I couldn't give it up, apparently. It's always my idea. And you're like, Emily, I'm done.
You couldn't give what up?
Korea, going to Korea, because I had a good time, and it was a beautiful country. And
yeah, especially from our second year.
Yeah, and it just felt like an easy option.
I think something that happened was that we came back from Korea, and we were like, okay, we had it pretty great.
Yeah, Korea was actually better than what we realized.
Yeah, let's go back.
Yeah, I think that's what happened as well, especially with our second job. Our second job was sweet.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, if we had stuck with just the first job, I would have never gone back. Mm-mm. But the second job made us come back again. Mm-hmm. So,
when we first arrived, we were promised a furnished apartment. And we walked in, and there was a mattress on the floor, and that was it.
That's furnished.
It.
I mean, that's what contracts are for, babe.
And I think that's when I realized, like, oh no, we're in another first year situation.
Yeah.
I cried and cried and cried.
Should have just bought a couch.
I was probably just tired, honestly, again, with the long traveling.
Yeah.
I cry pretty easily, though, wouldn't you say?
I mean,
it's funny. The other day I was talking to my friend and she was like, is your mom as quick to cry as you are? Like, as if it was like a nice way of asking, is your mom a crybaby too? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
She's not. Mom, if you're listening to this.
Hey, I got a question. Is your mom as annoying as you are?
I just release it.
Yeah.
And then you're done. That's the thing. I don't bottle things up. Release, it's done. So we knew right from the start that it probably wasn't going to be a great year, but you're there for a year.
I think even I came in with a better attitude this time around from the start.
Mm-hmm.
I started with a better attitude than the first year.
But arriving, I think you were discouraged.
Well, yeah.
And then it was the same situation. It was like, see you in the morning when we had just gotten there and went right to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kept saying like, oh, we were supposed to be kindergarten teachers. And that was the reason we took this job over other jobs was that's pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Playing and with super adorable yeah. little Korean children all day. But then they're like, oh, you're going to be a teacher, but you're also going to have this afternoon academy thing, which was like our previous jobs. It was daytime or nighttime, one or the other. It wasn't both. Like,
we're doing both.
Working all day.
Yeah.
Our shifts there were 12 hours almost.
Not quite, but yeah, it was long.
It was a long day. Five days a week. And then, yeah, because we had to ride the bus.
Well,
we did this
you don't...
whole like morning bus thing.
Oh, we had to ride the bus with the kids. Yeah. Yeah. I do.
To get in some extra English time.
Yeah.
They kept saying, oh, and you're going to do this. Oh, and you're going to do that. And it's like, but are we going to get paid for that? No. They're just
your salary,
they kept tacking it on.
Yeah.
So then we were kind of tired of them adding and adding and adding and not giving what they promised. And I started having this weird, like some weird health symptoms while we were there. This may be like where my crunchy journey really, really began.
It might have been the seat up. Well, I mean, you really kind of started towards the RV where you met Vicky from your book. Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. I was like the food that way, but, I was having all these weird health symptoms. And so I was trying to go to different doctors, get things figured out, but the language barrier was really difficult and I couldn't figure it out. And I was like using a co-teacher to go with me. And like one of the appointments was even an intimate appointment and she was in the room and, anyway.
That's always fun.
That's kind of awkward to have your co-teacher in a room.
They all show up, bring some tteokbokki. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. I loved tteokbokki.
Yeah. But not in the examination room.
No. So people are probably like, what weird health symptoms was she having to...
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we didn't know.
Yeah.
I think that really needs to be... really hit on is that, I mean, it was not, you were going through some extreme pain.
Yeah.
Daily.
Mm-hmm.
And this is towards the August, I think, September. Mm-hmm. You were in extreme pain daily.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that came extreme anxiety.
Because of the pain. Really, sort of.
Because
I'm like, I can't figure this out and I don't know
what's going
on.
Also getting mixed messages too, because somebody was telling you this is very serious and somebody else is telling you this isn't a very serious thing. And you're relying on your co-teacher to tell you about your health.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't getting any answers for weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it got your mental state, I would say, got to a pretty dark place in terms of just it consumed you.
Yeah.
And there was nobody to help us.
Mm-hmm.
There was no help.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get help. And so we made a plan.
We decided, because we read all these horror stories about quitting your contract in the middle of it, if you quit, then they may call the authorities on you. Say you vandalized your apartment or you stole textbooks or whatever. Like there were just all these terrible stories, multiple stories where people had been detained by the police.
Yeah.
Now,
whether we don't know much about these stories,
true.
It's just the forums, really.
Yeah, which is all you have.
It's all you have. So who knows what's true, what's not. And so we're just trying to play it safe.
We had a bad experience with our first school where they didn't give us our money that we were owed.
And so we were paid on a monthly basis at this school. And so we...
A whole month. Yeah.
We wanted to get... We thought that if we told them, hey, we're putting in a month or two notice, that they wouldn't pay us.
Mm-hmm.
It felt... like that type of school.
Mm-hmm. They're not all like that.
No. And you would be... No, they're definitely not all like that. But this one felt kind of like that.
Totally felt like that.
And it was one of those situations where it's like, if you gave them a notice, they're going to say they're going to pay you at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the end and they're not going to pay you.
Mm-hmm. we were living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, we had tried to pay off our student loans, yeah, but that's where we were sending all of our money.
And we would need money, some money saved up, mm-hmm, to go back home to have a buffer for finding jobs and getting you taken care of.
Yeah.
So
that's why we decided we had to just disappear.
The midnight run is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you pack up all your things. You don't tell a soul.
Not a soul.
Friday was our last day that nobody knew it was our last day.
Yeah.
We went out to eat with our friends.
I cleaned my desk and left it immaculate. I cleaned my
desk too.
Changed my desktop photo.
Yeah.
So that it wasn't totally awkward. Or maybe I didn't. Maybe I thought about changing it, but then I was like, no, that'll give it away.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
What I feel bad about the most is that the friends that we had, some were from the States, some were from the UK, and then some Koreans were our friends,
mm-hmm,
there, co-teachers. The thing
there
is,
there were too many of them. We couldn't tell them.
If we told one of them, it was going to get around to, mm-hmm, somebody, and we didn't know what would happen if that happened. We didn't want to risk it.
Yeah.
I remember feeling so horrible eating dinner with our friends, knowing it was our last time we were probably ever going to see them.
It was so dramatic.
It was very dramatic.
Okay, we left our apartment perfectly clean, better than we had found it, completely furnished for the next teachers. Yeah. I remember being a little bitter about it. Like, well, at least the next people will get a good place. We even unlocked our bike for them so that they could sell the bike or one of the other. Yeah. It was a tandem, remember?
Yeah.
And
that was our second tandem to own in Korea, by the way.
We had all of our stuff. And the thing about it was, we had to walk a mile to the bus stop.
Yeah.
But we had these heavy suitcases. It was hot.
There were no taxis around.
That was the thing. Uber wasn't a thing, our neighborhood,
maybe.
There were very rarely taxis because our neighborhood was full of people who had cars.
Yeah, right.
But then a taxi went by and
it was like an answer to prayer.
It was in at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And we waved him down and we were so excited, but we couldn't fit everything in. And so he took trips back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the airport. We're like totally terrified that someone's going to show up randomly and arrest us. Remember?
I don't think arresting. Yeah.
Like, looking back, I think we were a little dramatic.
It was a little dramatic, yeah.
We were super scared, though.
Yeah.
Because we just had read all these horror stories.
Right.
And you never know.
Yeah. Well, they were calling our cell phone.
Constantly. And we were just ignoring it.
Well, it was school starting. Mm-hmm. We weren't there.
Gone.
We were in the airport waiting to board.
I'm sure they thought we were sick or something.
Yeah, but they kept calling. That's
because they're like worried about us.
So here's what I feel worst about with that is...
Let's say it at the same time. What you feel worst about and what I feel worst about, because I wonder if it's the same thing. One, two, three.
The kids.
Students. Yeah.
The kids, yeah.
There were so many kids I loved.
Yeah. Well, and they were too young to understand what we were going through. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to say we didn't care. We did care. But we had to get you figured out. And we were just, maybe it's my fault too, because I'm like, I'm not going to get messed over again, you know? And
mm-hmm. There were a lot of layers there.
There's a lot more layers than people. I actually wish I could sit down and talk with like my co-teachers who we found out later through somebody else were really justifiably mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it put a damper on the whole school. And I bet the kids didn't understand mm-hmm. what was happening, why we weren't there, which, you know, I wasn't like so close to my kids. I don't think they cared that much. Mine. I don't know.
Johan surely did.
Maybe. But like,
if there's one person who cries as much as I do, it was definitely Johan.
Johan, if you're listening. I really, that is where I have regret in that is, and I actually feel it more now that I have kids.
Mm.
Because I feel like if that happened to my kids, it would be a really hard thing to explain.
And confusing.
And confusing. Yeah. And
like, sometimes people are not the best.
Yeah. And we were those people.
We seem so flaky. Yeah.
Well, we were those people for them. To them, we were not good people. And I don't have anything to refute them on that.
I know.
For that time period, for that moment, we were the bad guys. At the same time, they didn't know the whole story, even though we tried to say, listen, she's sick. You were sick. And we didn't want to then go through terrible things, losing money and like...
Yeah. They didn't know the whole story, but we couldn't tell them the whole story.
No.
So.
But I mean, how much do we see that? And that's everybody. Everybody's got the stuff they're dealing with that you just don't see. And the people that we were mad at the school, what's going on in their life? We don't know.
It's funny, though. We didn't even tell our fathers either. We totally disappeared. Cool. And didn't even tell our family. And then reappeared.
Showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen your dad look so happy.
That was cool. Man, I'll tell you this. If I've learned anything, that if you don't like the situation you're in, time slows down so much.
Yes. Days feel like months.
I like the Ducks.
This is how we're ending our first episode.
Sure.
Today, the Ducks are facing each other.
They're facing each other. Yeah. I think it was a nice choice.
We'll see what tomorrow will bring.
Yeah.
And if they're not facing each other, maybe you won't know the whole story.
Maybe you won't know the whole story.
Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the Really Very Crunchy Podcast. If you really liked it, be sure you leave a positive review and check out all the links we have in our show notes. There are links to my book and other fantastic things. Right, Jason?
That's right. Yeah. See you in the next episode.
Hey, before you go, I just wanted to tell you I have a book. It's called Really Very Crunchy, A Beginner's Guide to Removing Toxins from Your Life Without Adding Them to Your Personality. If you're interested in the crunchy lifestyle, you're a seasoned pro, or you just want a fun, entertaining read, head over to your favorite book retailer's website and just search Really Very Crunchy. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and maybe you might learn a thing or two. I should know because I did all three while writing it. Again, just search Really Very Crunchy wherever you buy books. Available in print, ebook, or audiobook.